When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, yay-sayers and dropouts? Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at CasperTrial.com/bookofyay.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at WarbyParkerTrial.com/bookofyay. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
If you're a fan of the Book of Yay podcast, if you love us, if you really love us, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and drop us a 5-star review. We need it. We hurting out here. I need stars.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.
We're freaking here. Where the yaysayers at?
What up?
Yeah? Y'all ain't here where the dropouts at?
No, okay. They don't know that nickname.
Only fans of the podcast came. Didn't nobody come that's just fans of Kanye that's not fans of the podcast. That's where the dropouts are. Yeah, I'm happy we here. Talk about the most important rock star of our generation, our Einstein. Our Steve Jobs, our Walt Disney, the most important person to lay his hand on a beat machine.
I feel like you're kind of angry right now, man.
I'm like, just saying, man. I feel like people are not hyping up.
Look, why don't you have a Pepsi, man? What?
Thanks, Chris.
Oh, we were worried that wouldn't work. we are the Book of Yay podcast. Thank you guys for coming out, sticking around. We're kind of a continuation. Lin-Manuel Miranda did say that the Hamilton musical was about Kanye, so you guys are just kind of seeing part two of that show.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for like a year now, so we're very excited to be here. We have a very special guest with us this time around. You guys will remember him from Hot 97. He was DJ for Chappelle's Show. He's one of the residents at Comedy Cellar. What else we got?
He's got the first hip-hop podcast, Juan Epstein.
That's right, with Rosenberg from Hot 97.
Everyone, please put your hands together for the one and only Cypher Sounds.
Hey, what's up,
You got a backpack?
I wanted to pull up my laptop in case I want to reference some songs.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
What's up?
Sife, welcome to the podcast. Can I call you Sife?
Yeah, that's my name.
Okay. I didn't know if I had to say the whole thing.
No, Sife is good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, we glad to have you.
Thanks for coming and listening to people pontificate about Kanye.
Yeah.
This is great.
We got 40 minutes to this, so get ready. as you pull that up, Sife, we usually like start our podcast with our guests. We usually ask them about like their first connection with Kanye West. But like normally we just have, you know, people are like fans of the music,
yeah.
But you've had actual personal interactions.
Yeah, we have like maybe 30 episodes and 27 through the wires. So
yeah, everybody's like, yeah, I heard through the wires. Like, great.
So my first encounter. I was on a radio station called Hot 97, and I was an A&R at a record label in like 98, 99 called Raucous Records. So Kanye was a producer. I didn't know him that well. He did. First time I heard of him, Mos Def was telling me about him. Mos Def had the soundtrack for the movie where he was a rapper, Brown Sugar.
Okay.
So Kanye produced Mos Def's song on Brown Sugar.
Oh,
so
dope.
I was DJing for Mos Def. We were in Aspen, and he was playing the beat to that song, the Brown Sugar. And he was like, yeah, Kanye did this. And I had heard of him like a little bit through producing, like stuff for Jay and like his stuff that he did. And then he's like, yeah, Kanye did this. So at the time, I was putting together an album on Raucous Records called Sound Bombing 3. And we made the album. We were all finished. And the last day, we actually would make the songs, press them up on vinyl, and then we would DJ the album. So the album really was like a mixtape, not just like put together in editing, like it was actually mixed together.
Okay.
So they were like, yo, Kanye wants to come by and spit on the album. And I was like, the producer? I'm like, when does that ever work? When does ever a producer rapping work? Most of the time it's like, So I was like, well, we're already done. The vinyl's pressed up. We got to do it. So they're like, well, he's coming anyway. So I was like, all right. So he came to the session. He comes to the session. It's like some bootleg studio in Jersey my boy had. And he's like, yo, what's up? I'm Kanye West. He's like, yo, I'm trying to get on this album. And I was like, yo, no disrespect, but we're already done. And he's like, let me just spit on something. Let me just spit on anything. And I was like, it's pressed up on vinyl. It's finished. He's like, let me go a cappella. Then I was like, who wants that? Who wants some random producer from Chicago? No disrespect to Chicago or the random producers, but when you're like, when you're in the final mixing of an album, I'm like, who wants a random a cappella?
I hope it's not random producers in the audience. Like, yeah, hey,
no,
man.
There always is nowadays. And I count that as one of my huge mistakes in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have let him spit a cappella on the album.
You could have put that verse over so many beats and sold it so many times.
Who has a cappella Kanye verses? Like, they don't exist. He won't put out a cappella. So, like, I would have had one of the only ones. I'm an idiot.
I feel like I've heard so many stories of while we've been doing this podcast of like that kind of like first impression of Kanye, where it's just like, yeah, Kanye's coming to like rap for like it's like Omar from The Wire, like Kanye coming. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, he was like pushy and arrogant and like that was the first time I met him, and he was like annoying, you know? And I regret it, though. I wish I would have got him, but oh well.
Wow. So that's was. So what year was that? Would you say?
I think I think 99, 2000, somewhere in there. I'm not good with years.
He probably. So he was still in Chicago.
Yeah. I think, but he was coming here a lot. He was almost, when he first came out here, I think he had like an apartment in Newark or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was around then. And then, I still have in my basement somewhere Kanye beat tapes from back then.
Whoa.
Yeah.
One surfaced recently and someone put it on SoundCloud, which I don't know how you put cassette on SoundCloud, but
it's a process. It's a process.
That seems like
it's a lot of wires.
Yeah, it's a process. You got to do it through the wire.
And they separated it track by track, which was impressive.
Yeah.
Some random producer.
I got to find that beat tape.
They bought it on eBay, and then, they were like, I'm thinking about buying this, and like everybody on the Kanye forum was like, Yeah, you buy it. And so, like, they were the right person because they knew how to put it on SoundCloud. If it was me, it would have just been in a talk boy.
Just put your phone to the speaker.
Wait, so I feel like you got to fast forward because this is like 2000.
Yeah.
But you were also the DJ for Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people, I think I know the first time, one of the first times anyway, that I actually like saw Kanye was he was on Chappelle's show.
Yeah, yep.
Like early.
Mm-hmm.
So like how did those exactly work?
So so Chappelle, I mean, Chappelle's always been like a crazy hip hop head. So I met him again being an A&R at Raucous Records, which was Mos Def and Talib Kweli's label. And if you remember, Dave Chappelle's on Talib Kweli's album. I think he's doing Mandela's voice, Nelson Mandela's like a voice. So that's where I met Chappelle. And then in that same circle, like people always have like this mystified image of like Mos Def and the Roots and Common and Kweli and Kanye all hanging out.
Right.
But they did. It was real. Like they did all used to hang out. So it was all in that circle where, like, Kanye started, like... I think Kweli really gave Kanye the first look, like...
He talks about that, how, like...
Brought him on stage.
He was the first, like, brought him on tour.
Yeah.
A lot of things, like, when Mos Def and Talib were on tour, and he was one of the first guys to give him that shot.
Yeah.
And that's where... Like, that's one of the cool things, because we talk about, on our early episodes of the podcast, how, like, a lot of people like Kanye. It's like, if you're, like, my mode, if I was a big, like, Talib Kweli, Mos Def fan... which was on the completely opposite end of the spectrum of every, like, most of the, like, gangster rap, if you're talking about, like, Jay, and, like, and he was, like, that bridge in the middle.
Yeah.
So we call it, like, the Koofy versus Durag.
Yeah, it was two type of rappers before Kanye. Yeah. Those who wore Koofies, those who wore Durags, and he brought the Koofies and the Durags together.
But just as, like, a Kanye fan, like, I would ask... what do you think is your favorite project that he's put out?
Project? I would have to say Yeezus album. And I know that gets... was that a thumbs up or thumbs down?
That was thumbs up.
Okay, yeah. Yeezus album is my favorite, but it's hard to differentiate between all the different albums. I do not like Heartbreaks in 808. I know. I just can't catch the groove of that album. I can't.
You ain't never been sad?
I don't know what it is. The music doesn't...
What?
The music doesn't touch me on that album, but the Yeezus album, like everybody, the first time you hear it, you're like, what is this? This is noisy, offbeat. Where's the pattern? And then as I let it play, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite album, yo. Second favorite album is Watch the Throne, which doesn't get enough credit as a Jay album or Kanye album.
It doesn't.
It doesn't at all. It's like it's not in anybody's favorite, but when you listen to it, you're like, this album is tough.
Yeah, somebody played it the other day, and we were all sitting there like, you know, we could still listen to this all the way through.
But yeah, Yeezus is my favorite. And then, you know, it's hard to go between. I don't know. I love Graduation. I love them all. I love them all except
808.
Yeah, 808.
Welcome to Heartbreak has that point where there's it's just the beat playing, and we always use that as the point where we were supposed to freestyle over the beat.
Yeah.
But now we know it's because you didn't let Kanye a cappella.
Yeah. I should have just threw it on there. Sorry.
On the mixtape.
Yeah, I mean, you normally get those responses. Like, I feel like 808s and Yeezus are the ones where people have really strong opinions.
Yeah.
Where they either really love it or dislike it.
Well, they're like what I call like, they're like, what's the term? They're disruptive. Like, mm-hmm. All the other ones, like, they all could play on loop. They're great pieces of work. But, like, 808s definitely has its own sound. And Yeezus definitely has its own sound. But Pablo's great, too. Like,
what'd you think of that when it came out? Because I know a lot of people have opinions about that. Because I feel like it has a reputation as, like, kind of disjointed.
It is.
Where there isn't a singular... kind of like throughout sound or message.
But I like it. I don't know. It's like all over the place. It doesn't even seem finished.
Well, it wasn't. He put it out. He was like, no, I got more songs and more edits.
It is finished.
Yeah.
We hope. we think it's finished.
Andre 3000 was not supposed to rap. He was just supposed to say 30 hours.
Well, that sounds like it, that sounds like it was an old song that he like, oh, I forgot about this. Let me put this on there. It's not. There's nothing on it, just one part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll fill in the rest.
Or so you don't think 30 hours was a new song?
No, nah, hell no.
That would make so much sense.
Nah.
Because it's like, who is this girl in St. Louis? Yeah, that whole thing makes sense.
Or if you take the fantastical story of Kanye making the song, it was like, Andre, come in the studio. I want you to be on the song. He's like, all right, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Say like 3 or 4 words.
I would almost guarantee that's old.
I know the Kendrick song is definitely old. That was. I feel like I've seen stories.
No More Parties in L.A.
Yeah.
That one's old.
Yeah.
The beat is old. We don't know because there were the tweets from Kim Kardashian that he was finishing the verse on a plane. So
this is how Rob gets most of his news. Is Kardashian.
It's very true. I get alerts, and like the Kimoji drop was killing my battery because she just kept tweeting every couple minutes, like the Kimoji merch, get your Kimoji merch. I'm like, we get it.
But yeah, I don't know if you listen to Yeezus is kind of like the introduction to Travis Scott, right?
For me, it was. Yeah. I didn't really have.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's why I'm a huge Travis Scott fan now because of the Yeezus sound.
Wait, no, Cruel Summer.
Well, he did a lot on there?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize.
Cruel Summer's Travis Scott's like coming out party, then Yeezus kind of like solidifies it.
Cruel Summer's a good album too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, a lot of people, when Complex put out the list of their top, everyone unanimously was saying Cruel Summer was the worst, but it's still a listenable album.
It's just...
like, that's what I'm saying. Listenable. Even the worst album, you could still ride. Like, I definitely was playing in my car for a minute, you know?
It's the list of, like, great albums, though. Somebody's got to be last. What they really messed up is they had Late Registration, like, second to last. Which made no sense.
No sense at all. Crack Music is one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah, Crack Music, you had...
Lyrically, it's got French horns. What other rap song has French horns?
Come on. Trumpets, maybe, but French horns?
Yeah. Scythe, you're also a DJ, very good, accomplished DJ.
Yeah.
What are the best Kanye songs to play in the club? Like, what's Kanye's songs get everybody hyped?
Depending on the type of party.
Okay.
But like...
Say it's a sad party.
Like, depending on the type of party, like... I mean, Kanye has songs for every type of party. Like, that's how phenomenal of an artist he is. Like, so, like, let's say you're doing, like, some real backpack, hip-hop, head nod type of party... one of my favorite songs is what's the one off College Dropout with Quali on it and Common?
Get 'em High.
Get 'em High, yeah. Get 'em High, Knox. You know, if it's a little older and there's a couple of like people that look like they listen to gospel, you could throw that Jesus Walks on. But then, like,
what
if you're
party
like,
is this?
You know, it's not a party.
Yo, that's got
a
reception.
That sounds like a reception.
Yeah, yes. When you're at a reception for a wedding or funeral, you know, you throw that Jesus Walks on. But then, like, you know, if you're like in a very popish type party, you know, white people. You know what I'm talking about, white people. You throw on Gold Digger. You throw on Stronger. You know, those.
I like how you're saying the ER is for the popper party.
Yeah.
It's like Gold Digger, Stronger.
And then, like, yeah, like ratchet parties. What's the one? You Can't Tell Me Nothing. Like, that rocks. Rocks. Then on Pablo, both the one where he uses the panda, the
part two.
Yeah, it's called part two. I call it What's the song?
Father Stretch My
Hands.
I say Father Stretch My Hands Part 2 because that's obviously what he was saying. But both of those, Father Stretch My Hands, work. And then, you know, it's a sleeper that no one really knows about?
Freestyle 4.
Huh?
Freestyle 4.
No, that's dope, too. No, but to rock a party. I mean, N-words in Paris always. I don't know if I can curse on this podcast.
Yeah.
And also, I don't want to say the N-word because people are looking at me strange. But N-words
in
Paris.
You don't want to say the N-word for all these white people?
I always say it. I just feel like I'm in a nice venue and I shouldn't. I say the N-word a lot. Puerto Ricans in New York are allowed to say the N-word, so don't get weirded out. All Day, that record rocks too, but that's not on no albums, you know what I'm
saying?
It's not. Yeah, so that, you got to really know about that one, and he says the N-word a lot.
Yeah.
You know the song? Every other word is...
Yeah. It's like it's part of the beat. It's almost like
I heard that's why it didn't get cleared.
Because
it was a... Damn, why is my mind going blank today? The Beatle guy. Paul McCartney.
Okay.
It's a Paul McCartney interpolation, and I heard Paul McCartney heard it and was like, no, you can't put that out. You said the N-word 137 times.
So I don't remember.
You think they're arguing why they were making 4 or 5 seconds? Like, I mean, come on. How many N-words do I need? Like, we got you your little sing-songy song, but you know what I'm saying? For this all day to work.
They didn't let them do it. They didn't let them do it.
I remember I went to the St. Pablo concert at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And if you like, any Kanye concert is 85% white people. And I was like waiting for that song to come on.
Yeah.
So it'd be like all day.
No, they all say it. They all say it in concerts.
It's probably the best concert I've ever been to in my life, though.
I didn't get to see that one. I was kind of pissed.
It's, if you don't know, he has it looks like it's floating, but it's a hanging stage that moves. It moved across the entire arena.
I was very upset.
I was in the pit. So underneath the stage he's on, it's like there's a light show over the stage, and there's a light show under the stage. And it's just like a mosh pit of people who are like fighting and bumping into each other. Each other. I got a concussion, but it was the best night of my life.
Wow. Yeah, I wanted this. I missed that. I was actually supposed to go with Dave Chappelle in Chicago, and then it got canceled for some reason. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it was a rough year.
What about the joint with 2 Chainz? Somebody's birthday.
Oh, yes, that rocks. That's someone else's song, though.
Okay.
There's a lot of features.
Yeah.
2 Chainz. Mercy works in the club. Birthday song works. You know, a lot of songs that he's produced work. But you know, it's a good one also from Watch the Throne. Who Gonna Stop Me?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that song in public.
Yeah, that song.
Because it'll be a fight.
That song gets you riled up.
Yeah, I would probably do karate if I heard that, or Ham.
My secret weapon is Blood on the Leaves. Because Blood on the Leaves, it's too long to play straight through. So, like, if you're a Kanye fan, as a DJ, you're a Kanye fan, you like the song, listening to it on your own, but it would be weird to play in a club. But the way I do it, it works. Because the beat is a no-brainer, because he basically sampled...
Tonight?
No, down it? From
TNNT.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll let you do it.
That's fine. So he said, you know, the C Murder song. Down with my N words. So yeah, that one rocks. But it's like a lot of DJs don't play it. So when I play it, it always looks like everyone like remembers like, oh yeah, and they go crazy.
So you mix it in with the C Murder?
No, I just bring it in from a certain part. Because, like, the first part is, like, you got to, like, find a good way to bring it in. Otherwise, it's too long before the beat drops.
So you cut out all the Nina Simone singing about lynching and whatnot? Because
unless it's a sad party. Unless it's a sad party.
Finally.
It's a sad party that works.
For you, the listeners of the Boogie A podcast, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got the right sink and the right bounce. It's made up of two technologies, latex foam and memory foam. They come together like a Kanye beat and a Kanye rap. The Casper mattress is now the most awarded mattresses of the decade, kind of like Kanye with Grammys. So what are you waiting for? Go get one. To receive $50 towards any mattress, go to CasperTrial.com/BookOfYay. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/BookOfYay for $50 towards any mattress purchase.
We're also sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is offering Book of Yay listeners a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses. Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free. Their home try-on program allows customers to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to them, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home and get feedback for friends, family, and colleagues. Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back completely free, using a prepaid returning shipping label with no obligation to purchase. To get your home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/bookofyay. Again, that's warbyparkertrial.com/bookofyay for your free 5-day home try-on.
I'm a huge One Ep fan. Can I nerd out about some One Ep stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
First off, Carhartt Girl, would she listen to the Book of Yay podcast? If y'all don't know, Carhartt Girl is imagine what the girl who listens to One Ep is. And she has sneaky big tits, which are like you don't know she has big breasts until after she takes off her Carhartt jacket.
Yeah. That's baby. Yeah,
I like it's like sneaky big tits. Now let me explain what I mean by that.
Sneaky big tits. Yeah, that's a thing.
So I was wondering, what kind of girl do you think listens to the Book of Yay?
Oh, I would assume, college-y. You know, glasses.
Okay.
Doesn't go out much.
Mm-hmm.
But, she'll go out for, her... She has ratchet friends, but she's not ratchet.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
She goes to school, but her cousins are in the streets. You know what I'm saying? And they'll be like, you never come out with us. And she'll be like, all right. And she'll, go out one night and, she'll deal with it for quarterly. She'll go out quarterly. For a club, you know?
This is a female Judd Apatow character.
No, she's in the books. She's in the books. She has a boyfriend. You know.
Tim.
Yeah, she has a boyfriend, Tim. And she does she's got she's in school. She's probably studying to be like a neurosurgeon or something, you know, not just a regular doctor, some kind of upper echelon type of doctor.
Okay. After Get Out and Ben Carson, I don't really trust neurosurgeons, but I feel you.
Yeah. She might not necessarily be a nerd either.
But she does Photoshop.
She's cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, her Instagram is definitely pictures of her nephew. You know what I'm saying? This is my nephew. I love being an auntie. All right, relax.
Also, she uses her data when she babysits.
Huh?
She uses her data when she babysits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping a response was just sneaky big tits again.
No.
Don't get the sneaky big tits.
No, sneaky big tits is very.
Yeah,
very
I feel like we get shoulder bag girl. She has that shoulder bag.
She does have a shoulder
there's
bag.
There's
yeah.
books in there yeah. and whatnot. Kindle.
That's college-y.
Yeah. Y'all know the big shoulder bag I'm talking about. It's not a purse, but it's not a book bag. One shoulder. Olive green, army colors. All right.
Yeah.
Kanye was on One Epstein.
Yeah.
That is probably the shortest episode of One Epstein. You ask him, which I would imagine would be your if you could only ask Kanye one question, what would you ask him? What is the meaning of the Opta Wapti?
Yes.
Can you please tell us about the One Epstein with Kanye?
Yeah. So I was on Hot 97 at the time, and we were shooting a television show on VH1. It was like a mock reality show. You guys never watched it because it turned out to be horrible, but it was actually fun to shoot. And Kanye was coming on. Well, he wasn't coming off of that, but we got him to be on that a little bit. But in the process of them setting up the cameras, we begged him if we could go into the side studio and record a Juan Epstein. And how we convinced him to do it was that we promised we wouldn't ask any questions about fashion. Because remember, he was going through all that drama when he was right before he made the Yeezys, where like nobody was respecting his fashion sense and he couldn't get these companies to invest in him.
It was the Houseway. The Houseway era.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he... I think he left our show to go do Sway's show, and then that's when all that happened. Yeah, wow. It was like the next day, yeah. So we told him, like, we want to ask you. Like, Juan Epstein podcast is, like, very hip-hop history. And we were convincing him, like, yo, we want to ask you about, like, music, like, making beats and your favorite music stuff. And you could see, like, he had a little spark in his eye, like, oh, nobody ever asked me about music anymore. They always ask me about Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian, who was with him at the time. She was right there. And so he came in the room with us, and we knew we had a short amount of time, so we were just trying to, like, what we do with One Up is we try to get people to come in the room for a short amount of time, and then hopefully they get so into it, then they start telling their people, like, chill out, let me stay here for a minute. That's how we get a lot of our interviews. But he couldn't do it. He had to go. So it was mad short, but, like, it was incredible to even just get that much time with him.
Well, I remember hearing it, and because you guys nerd out yourselves, like, on the episode when you guys get into, like, real music.
Yeah,
questions.
I
want to
know, like, what beat machines you use for
which
this
which is something I would have, like, I would have never even come close to asking. But for somebody like Kanye, with a producer of that level, like, why does that fascinate you?
Because here's the thing. I love music. I love Kanye's music. And I was saying this backstage. People, like, so many people know Kanye from the crazy rants or, like, the Taylor Swift VMA thing or, you know, him being married to Kim Kardashian. I don't care about any of that stuff at all. I like the man's music. And, you know, I know a couple people that told me, like, I have arguments with, like, some comedian. You know Keith Robinson, comedian? He's like, oh, I hate Kanye. I'm like, have you ever listened to his albums? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, he's like, he's an asshole. He messed up that white girl's moment and stuff like that. He's like, he talks like he's the best. Da, da, da. I was like, I ignore all that stuff. To me, all that is, like, just marketing or his... Okay, here's my thing about Kanye. Kanye always talks about being a genius because I think he might be a little insecure and he's trying to convince the world that he's a genius, but he actually is a genius. You know what I'm saying? So
he
doesn't even realize that he really is a genius, but he just wants to say he's a genius so that people think he's a genius.
He's speaking it into existence even though it exists.
It exists, yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it's like, so it's like, because if you listen to, like, if you put on Kanye albums and let them play through the way the songs connect, the way the like, there's, you know, no one does this anymore. Like, the end of crack music, the song ends, like, the last hook plays, but then the beat just rides out and, like, talk that stuff over the end of it. Like, that's real albums, like, how it used to be, not just, like, song. Like, he puts into the work of art. So, yeah, so I think that's his issue. So I want to know, like, how'd you make this song? What beat machine did you use for this? Or I know he collaborates with a lot of different producers. Like, what part did he play? When did this guy come into the mix? Why don't you use this guy anymore? You know, I give a shit about him married to Kim Kardashian. Like, I don't care at all. We asked her nothing. No disrespect. She's a nice lady. I don't care. I don't care, like, what, you know. I bet you she hasn't even heard all Kanye albums.
Oh, man. I never thought about that. But
you think she,
which,
like,
one you think she skipped?
I think she probably knows. Like, she probably never listened to College Dropout all the way through. I don't think so.
She ain't listened to Last Call at the end.
Nah, it's too long.
I don't know. She used to work for Brandy. Maybe, you know.
So she heard late registration?
Not the whole thing. She heard all of
808s.
My Dark Twisted Fantasy, that one. She heard all that. And everything after that.
Well, yeah, that's like you get to read the diary.
Yeah, but she never, like, she never listened to the whole thing.
I love to think, like, you get her in private and she's just, like, rapping all the words.
Yeah, right.
She also knows the blueprint, like, back and forth. It's like, Mama, love me. And, like, Chris is just like.
She knows the acapella verse.
Nah, she doesn't. Yo, this is the one he would have spit on your album, Scythe.
He talks about this every Thanksgiving.
Yo, last time I saw him, not the one-up interview time, but the time before that, I forgot where I saw him. And I was, it's been a long time before that since I seen him. So, like me, I meet a lot of famous people. I've interviewed tons of famous people. But when someone that I really respect recognizes me or shakes my hand, or like there's some of my heroes like Q-Tip who are now friends of mine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It still blows my mind to this day. Like I'm a regular guy that like just likes to, I'm happy that I do what I do. And he saw me in a crowd and he looked over and saw me and made his way over to me and shook my hand. And then he looked at me. I could, like, he was like, wait, am I mad at him for something? You know, he had that look, and then I was like, don't bring up the album, don't bring up the album, don't bring up the album. He's like, Scythe, what's up, man? How you been? I'm like, I'm good. And he looked, and he's like, in his mind, he was trying to register, like, why am I mad at this guy? And he just said, then he let it go.
He's still like, you think he's still thinking about, like.
No, I don't think he thinks about it specifically, but I know he probably has like a mental Rolodex of like people who might have shunned him that go in a certain box. But thank God the box is so far back that he's probably like, it's something. I know if I dig deep, I'll find it.
You think he's ever sent you a subliminal?
Nah. I don't think so.
Can I ask you something outside of Kanye?
Please.
Okay. You are in Pharrell's frontin' video.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that video changed my life.
Really?
Yeah. Like I'm a huge, huge Pharrell fan. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first time I saw Bape, the first time I saw Nego.
Yeah.
The first time I saw, like, Laura London.
I was about to say Laura London's the girl in the video, yeah.
Was it as epic as it looks in the video, or is it just, like, lights and cameras?
No, everything. After I left Raucous Records, I worked at Tommy Boy Records, and then after that, I worked at Star Trek. I A&R'd for Pharrell for like 2 years, and everything about Pharrell is real, and like it's as it looks is how it felt.
So like, he really don't age,
huh?
He really don't age at all. His skin is that clear. All
right. Yeah. Oh, don't age.
Yeah.
He looks a little older now, though.
Yeah, he looks like 14.
I feel it's because of pressure. Huh? I feel it's because of pressure. I feel like he gets like Rick Baker that does like the Eddie Murphy movies and like make me look older. People are making memes. Yeah.
But yeah, that video and that album and being around Pharrell at that time. I have another Kanye beat tape from that era.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You guys are making me remember because I was an A&R for this kid named Fam Lay.
Oh, yeah.
And, and Kanye sent us some beats for Fam Lay and another artist named Roscoe P. Coldchain, who he was on Star Trek too. And I have a beat tape from Kanye. Wow. I got to find that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They weren't that good though, but still, I want to, you know, it's Kanye.
But next time, you'll know why he's mad.
Yeah.
I just remember in the Through the Wire video, there's this scene where Pharrell like walks out of the studio and then like in the hallway, like he just heard the most amazing thing he's ever heard. But yeah. You're saying that's not on the beat you got.
No. It was all right. It was all right.
All right, we got just a couple minutes left. And like there were rumors that by now at least that we might have had another Kanye album. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we can say solidified is on the way, but we know something probably is eventually going to come. So yeah. Like I think as a fan, like I want to know like what you're looking forward to or hoping.
I don't know what the next Kanye album would be. I kind of like the way Pablo came out. It sounded like how it was hyped up that it was going to be. Uh-huh. I don't hear anything right now that's giving me any type of vision of what the next Kanye sound will be.
Even
do you?
I mean,
because everything Kanye in the last year has been the sneakers. You know what I'm saying? So like, how do you know? Yo, I got the finest rubber soles. You know what I'm saying? Like what?
I mean, I feel like so much of the past year hasn't even like obviously like had to do with the music, like as far as the narrative goes. And I feel like a lot of it, like there was that whole movement of people who's like, oh, I miss the old Kanye, like that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll ever do that, though.
I don't think he'll ever do that again. But I remember our last episode where we listened to a song of College Dropout. We listened to Never Let Me Down. And, like, that verse, that Kanye, to, like, now Kanye, it's so, like, two different people.
You think it's going to loop back around?
Not necessarily loop back around, but just an acknowledgement of the journey, like the journey from like old to now. Like he always tells you like what it is at the time, like his status, where he at in life,
yeah.
That relationship he has with the people around him. But I don't think there's been like a Kanye to Kanye conversation.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be cool.
Well, what's maybe the Kanye Trump conversation is going to be on there?
You like my hair? Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you guys for coming out. Thanks for supporting the show. We've been Bookie A. We good?
No,
we're not good.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's promote. Sype is an amazing comedian.
Wow.
Yeah. Check him out. Doing stuff all over the country.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is my improv show. I do at UCB every Friday. It's a hip-hop improv show where I get a hip-hop artist or someone in the game to tell us a real-life story, and then we create a show on the spot. I do tons of stand-up. I DJ. Everything is on my Instagram, at Cypher Sounds. I'd appreciate a follow, you know?
Yeah, always amazing comedians on that show. People you might have seen on Wildin' Out and MTV, Comedy Central. So, like, yeah, top-of-the-line comedians always come through. And some dope people in hip-hop as well.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to check out the podcast, always look us up. We're on Forever Dog Network. And on Twitter, just at Bookie A.
And I'll just tell you this. Dave Chappelle told me, keep August open. I don't know why.
Okay.
So something's happening in August. Just letting you know.
For the podcast or just?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chappelle coming on.
I don't know.
Tell the Bookie A boys, I'm free.
He said keep August open. I don't know.
All right. You guys hear that? August is open. Okay. Bell House, August is open. We don't know what it is, but hey, the whole month, we're on call.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lev.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.